This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And we sure are happy to be here today.
Heck yeah, talking about my favorite thing tonight.
What is it?
TikTok.
Ooh, my favorite thing too.
The only social media platform I have ever loved is TikTok. And this case is not pulled up on my computer, but I'm calling this The Murder That TikTok Solved. The devastating case of Daisy De La O. So on May 26th, 2021, a woman named Rebecca Fuentes uploaded a video to TikTok of a photo of her friend Daisy, and then a series of photos with a, quote, young guy with shoulder-length shaggy black hair and tattoos across his arm and torso, with the caption, quote, on February 23rd, she was murdered. Followed by the caption, quote, TikTok, do your thing and blow this up so we can find this asshole.
Oh, what year is it?
2021. This just happened. Yeah, this just happened. The woman who had been murdered was Daisy De La O, and she and Rebecca, who was 20 at the time she posted the video, had been friends since they met as freshmen in high school just outside of Los Angeles. 19-year-old Daisy had been stabbed to death and then wrapped in carpet and left outside of her apartment complex in Compton. Almost no media outlets had reported on the young woman's murder, except for an LA Times article and a news report that referred to her as a, quote, Latina Jane Doe. She was never a Jane Doe. Everybody knew who she was immediately.
I just hate it. It's like, you know, might as well just be rolled up garbage in the carpet.
Yeah, precisely.
According like,
we don't
to
know
the
who
media.
She is. We don't know who she. Yeah, no, her family's right there. They were there immediately, like within an hour of her being found. She had been found by her apartment building manager, who reported that he didn't think she lived in the complex, which she did. And the general response outside of Daisy's friends and family was almost non-existent.
Why does it have to be this way, Courtney?
I know. And she's this gorgeous, creative, vibrant, like 19-year-old girl. Super creative looking, you know, like beautiful, different color hair, super artsy. Like, this is a bright, bright light. This is a young woman who was murdered, stabbed to death, and then left in front of her apartment complex. And everyone's like, ooh.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I think about that a lot as a white woman. That we're just inherently cherished by our fucking bullshit society.
Yep.
And that would never happen.
Never.
To us.
No.
And how it's just disgusting. It's infuriating.
We're gonna talk all about it tonight, Sadie. So before her friend's death, Rebecca had used TikTok like every other 20-year-old and mostly posted dance and lip-syncing videos, but had also watched a lot of true crime videos and knew what worked to get people's attention. She posted that video late at night, and by the time she woke up the next morning, her phone was blowing up.
That's amazing.
Amazing. TikTok has been used recently to bring massive awareness to cases, like in the case of Alyssa Tierney, who disappeared in Phoenix 20 years ago, and her sister Sarah Tierney has been doing a phenomenal job of bringing awareness to her case and pressuring law enforcement to finally arrest her father, Michael, for Alyssa's disappearance. She was often seen wearing a hoodie that said, quote, trained detective, as a jab at the Phoenix Police Department, who she feels didn't adequately investigate her sister's disappearance.
If you that want is to, so badass.
So badass. And I haven't listened to her podcast yet. It's definitely on my list, but she's incredible. She's incredible. She was like, oh, hell no. My dad is not getting away with this. Amazing.
It's amazing.
There's also the incredibly famous case of Gabby Petito's disappearance that was essentially solved on TikTok, which still gives me chills when I think about it, while simultaneously drawing attention to the fact that when pretty white women go missing, the cases get millions or billions of views, But when brown or black women go missing, the media rarely lifts a finger to bring their killers to justice.
Mm-hmm. There's a little aside. It was actually on TikTok today that something I never thought of. Any huge ancient, like, not sculpture, but like building, or like the pyramids, or mm-hmm. basically the pyramids, the Aztec, right? Yeah. If it was built by a brown person anciently, that's the technical term.
Yep.
We decide that aliens did it.
We don't believe it's true.
But if it's any other, like the Greek Colosseums or any of the other stuff, of course the white people, you know, those cultures were able, like, smart enough to build it. Like, never, you would never see that on Ancient Aliens. It's and so I never true. Thought of it. It's so true.
Yeah. And their buildings were so much more advanced and make so much less sense than ours. So we're like, clearly aliens.
Not possible.
And they're like, no, dickheads. We figured this out a long time ago.
Yeah. We were building very computers and shit.
Yeah.
Idiots.
We invented language and math and everything.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus and all of it.
Anyway. So the TikTok app is extremely efficient when it comes to disseminating information to a very broad audience, which is very helpful in spreading awareness, but can also backfire if the information isn't accurate or it interferes with an investigation. Not to mention the court of public opinion, which can be incredibly damaging, especially if a person is innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, there's obviously a risk to the investigation. Could they interrupt or interfere with the investigation? There's a risk to the amateur sleuths themselves. What if they're dealing with a dangerous predator, says Tracy Tambora, a criminologist and domestic violence expert who teaches in the Criminal Justice Department of the University of New Haven. There's also a risk for the alleged perpetrator. What if the individual is actually innocent? Let me just bump up my font here. Mama cannot see this at all. So Rebecca's video started to gain traction, and a lot of commenters expressed frustration that they hadn't heard about the case, even those who lived nearby to where she was murdered. Other people commented that they would keep an eye out for her killer, and some claimed to know him and where his family members lived. Daisy De La O lived with her mother and her two brothers in Compton, where they moved after her parents got divorced. She worked at a CVS while she took classes at East Los Angeles College and saved up to buy a car. She was studying business administration and hoped to open her own beauty salon someday and provide tattoo and makeup services. She had a rough time in high school, so her family was thrilled by her path and how hard she was working to make a life for herself. Quote, Daisy was freaking awesome, you know? She knew how to choose her friends, her mother, Susanna Salas, said. She was young, you know, naive. Which one of us hasn't chosen a guy who's a loser?
All of us.
Yes. And real quick, I totally forgot to shout out that I relied heavily on an article called A Murder Solved in DMs by Jennifer Swan for The Cut. So I need to bring that up real quick. And my friend Jessica Funaro recommended it. So thank you, Jessica, for listening. Yes, every single one of us. Every last damn one of us. So her mother was referring to Daisy's ex-boyfriend, Victor Sosa, who Daisy had met on an app when she was 15 and he was 21.
No.
The couple lied about his age, but her mother became concerned when she saw the tattoos covering his arms and knew a teenager couldn't have that many tattoos at their young age.
Mm-mm.
And he looks like an emo skater kid. I mean, honest to God, aside from his age, if my child or my nephews bring home somebody who looks like this kid, I would be pumped. I'd be like, yes, I did it right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not the age, though. Big, big, big no-no. But the way he looks, I would make a lot of assumptions that he was just like a gentle, sad, cute, creative kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A few months after the two had started dating, Daisy's mother noticed, quote, scratches, bites, and bruises on Daisy's body. But Daisy was embarrassed and wouldn't tell her mother what had caused them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just a couple months. The violence only got worse over time. Quote, Salas's youngest son, Nathan De La O, recalls physically intervening when Sosa attempted to strangle Daisy at their apartment one day when Salas wasn't around. Another time, Nathan says he was lying in the bunk bed he shared with Daisy. Nathan was on the bottom bunk and Daisy in the top bunk with Sosa when an argument broke out and Sosa physically attacked Daisy and Nathan had to intervene.
He's doing this in front of people?
In front of in front of her brother. Just a couple months after they started dating.
What is happening?
Yeah.
That's so awful.
Have that much crazy rage at 21 years old.
I don't know. Well, in bites? Like, that's so...
So sucky. So intense. Well, and get this. Daisy's brother also claimed he saw Sosa hit Daisy across the head with a skateboard in front of their apartment.
What?
Yes.
That's Courtney. Like
attempted murder. Yes. Hitting somebody in the head with a fucking skateboard is, that's a deadly weapon. It's assault with a deadly weapon.
Yes, it is. 100%.
Quote, she was embarrassed, Salas says of the incident. She was such a mature, rough girl that for her, that was embarrassing that she was getting hit by this person, you know? Especially because she never saw actual physical violence between me and her dad.
Oh, I hate it.
Salas took her daughter to get stitches later that day and tried to report the incident while in the hospital, but authorities refused to start a report unless Daisy actually accused Sosa of the attack. Her mother said, quote, I went to a police station in Compton and they told me the same crap. Quote, you cannot make a report. I'm like, she's underage. She's a minor.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, she's a child.
Yes. You don't need the teenager to fess up to it. If a mother is saying my child is being abused... That's done. A report.
CPS.
By an adult. Like, exactly.
Especially if she's dating this man. Like, just the fact that they're together
is a violation. Yes.
Yes.
It's a crime. Yes. A lieutenant at the Compton station responded, quote, we don't know that a report wasn't taken. It may have been. She could have been confused. To which no. I say, fuck you. A mother is not confused about whether or not a report was taken toward the safety of her child.
No.
He also said, quote, in general, we need a victim to have a crime report taken, a cooperative victim saying a crime happened. Or a de facto fucking adult saying that a crime happened pictures to their child.
Seriously, she had to get stitches and like, mm-mm.
Yeah, yes. A crime clearly was committed and their guardian is claiming it was this person. So just write a fucking report. Her mother said, quote, I want to at least make a record that this happened since the two freaking police departments are not helping me. She remembers thinking, quote, I had to do something. She followed up by trying to report the attack to the LA County Sheriff's Department as well as the department where her daughter went to school in Huntington Park. The Huntington Park lieutenant said that there's a, quote, gray area when it comes to reporting domestic violence cases involving minors.
I just can't sit still. I'm like so, I have to do a little jaw massage. I'm clenching my teeth.
Yep.
And going to start punching my computer.
Yep. If a minor declines to provide a verbal statement to investigators, it's difficult for them to pursue a charge, let alone determine whether a crime has taken place at all. Is this true? I mean, this must be true. They went on the record saying this, but I just cannot believe that this is true. You know, in general. It just seems crazy. It's crazy to me.
I don't know. It's insane.
I feel like you could find a way to press a charge when it's dealing with a minor.
Right.
Domestic violence or otherwise, just be like, okay, well, we're not going to call it domestic violence. Like, this is just violence. This is a child getting beaten up by an adult man. Like, regardless of their relationship to each other.
Yes.
Like, what? If anybody who had reported that, if a school reported that, if anybody reported that, it's a crime. I just, doesn't matter if they're lovers or not. Like, give me a break.
No, it should matter more. Like, and not that it would matter more, but, you know, it should have.
Yes. It
definitely have as much impact. Like, you know.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Her mother also appealed to the administrators at Daisy's school who interviewed her brother Nathan, as well as Daisy, who denied that she'd been assaulted. She eventually broke down, though, and said that she had been attacked by Sosa, and as a result, he was banned from the school campus as well as her apartment complex.
Call the police back.
Call the police, school. Don't you have your mandated reporters call the police also and say, we got a confession. We need to investigate this further.
How old is she at this point? Like
15.
Yes. Yeah, 16.
She's a tiny baby. Right. I mean, maybe she's a little older, but yes, she's a child. She's a teenage child. Unfortunately, Daisy continued to see Sosa until around a month before her body was found. Daisy admitted to her mom that she'd finally ended the relationship, and Salas said, quote, "Inside of me, I was jumping up and down, but I couldn't show it because teenagers are just so weird, you know." My seven and four-year-old nephews are so weird, I can't show, like,
too much emotion. It happens so fast, all of a sudden. It's like, ooh, I'm now, you know, trying to hold my oldest's hand the other day, and he kept pulling it away, and I was like, oh, right, I forgot. Okay, we're cool now.
We're cool dudes. We don't show emotions and stuff. She also said, "I honestly think that she had broken up with him so many times before, but this time I think she really didn't love him anymore. I really believe it. And I think that's one of the main reasons it happened."
I think about that age and, you know, this is like her beginning, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. She's trying to cut ties with the guy she knows is no good for her. Mm-hmm. She's got plans. She's got goals. She's got a job. She's like ready to go. She knows what she wants to do. She knows she has a talent for makeup. She's very creative. She's smart. Yep. And it was all cut short because some fucking kid could not stand not being loved by her.
Or controlling her.
Right. All of the above. Mm-hmm. Correct. She said that on February 22nd, Daisy got an alert on her phone, and Salas happened to see that it was from Sosa, who said that he had something for Daisy. Daisy reassured her mother that it was nothing and that she wouldn't be gone very long, and then headed out to meet her ex.
No.
Daisy hadn't returned by the following morning, and her mother was disappointed because she assumed Daisy had reconciled with Sosa and spent the night with him.
I hate it.
No, so much. Later that morning, she got a call while she was at work from a police detective asking her if she knew where her daughter was because they'd found the body of a young woman.
I just got so many chills.
She immediately knew Sosa had done something horrible to Daisy. She had a friend drive her home and, quote, "I was a wreck, you know." She rushed to her apartment complex, which had been cordoned off with yellow tape, quote, "Where's my baby? Where's my baby? Where's my baby?" That's all I kept saying. "Where's my baby?" She said, "Not quote nothing, zero," and I was like, "Where's my daughter? Where's my kid?" When I turned around, I saw a body bag. I collapsed and started screaming.
Oh, mama.
You know. She doesn't remember much about that day or the days and months after, but she does remember, quote, "Detective Ray Lugo with the LA County Sheriff's Department pulled her aside and said, quote, 'I promise you, mija, we're going to catch him.' Salas says, and honestly, I looked at him and I'm like, bullshit. It's a Mexican-American girl. Who's going to care about her?" Ugh. Which makes me, like, just that hopelessness, just that feeling of, you just know. Like, you just know nothing's going to happen. They're not going to treat your family or your daughter with the same respect they would treat a white girl.
I just, no. I can't deal with it.
Hopelessness. Daisy's friend said she didn't like to talk about her relationship and hadn't told them about the abuse. Rebecca said she had suspicions that Sosa would get physical if Daisy broke up with him, but never suspected he was capable of so much violence or murder. Another friend said that the reason Daisy likely met Sosa the night she was murdered was that, quote, "Daisy's also not the type of person to leave a person hanging. If a person was doing bad, she would check up on them. Even if she tried cutting ties, she wouldn't do it completely because she cares too much." Despite the fact that it was pretty clear that Sosa was the one who had murdered Daisy, weeks went by and authorities failed to bring him into custody, which infuriated her loved ones.
I cannot believe that.
Like, right away. This is who she went to see. I saw the text message. He beat her. I tried to follow. You know, like, he would be in custody in 13 seconds under any other fucking circumstance.
I can't believe that. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I can totally believe that this is real life, but it just feels
beyond belief.
Yes.
It just feels
that this is possible and it's the norm. It's so normal that her mom knew nothing was going to happen for her daughter, her precious daughter.
Yep. Compton is often referred to as the unsolved murder capital of Los Angeles County, as almost two-thirds of the murderers in the area get away with their crimes. Mm-hmm. Compton is majority black and brown, and quote, they half-ass everything, especially in our communities, says Jasmine Garcia, who was one of Daisy's friends. Quote, this is where the abolish the police comes in. Everyone's always talking about, oh, you need the police, they prevent crime. No, you fucking don't. They always come when it's too late. They don't protect shit. Then they always blame the girl. The girl who went out. The girl who cared too much. The girl who was so naive. Mm-hmm. Amen, Jasmine. Mm-hmm. 2 months after Daisy's murder, police still hadn't announced that Sosa was a suspect or appealed to the public for help in finding him. The lead detective on the case said, quote, there was doubt. There was always doubt. We can't be wrong. There's always doubt.
It's called investigating.
He's a suspect. Yes, you can announce him as a suspect when it's pretty, you're pretty sure he's a suspect.
I just, Courtney.
He argued that the department did not have witnesses, at least at first, and that the residents of Compton tend to be uncooperative police with police, which is gaslighting.
Seriously.
And what do you think, they're uncooperative? Because you don't do anything. You're not protecting them. Oh, my God.
I'm having serious rage problems over here.
I know. Quote, unfortunately, a murder investigation is not a movie, and it sometimes takes a little time, which is so condescending.
Seriously. So it's the witness's fault for not talking. It's the public's fault for being impatient. It's the victim's fault for being alive.
And the reason why it takes a little time is because we can never be wrong, ever. And if we're not sure, we have to wait. And in this case, that's what happened. That said, there are plenty of instances of white women being murdered in the area and a suspect being swiftly identified, like the case of Brianna Kupfer, who was stabbed at work, and a suspect, as well as a $250,000 reward, were posted just 5 days later, and the killing had been completely random. The lead detective on Daisy's case said they simply couldn't move forward more quickly because the video footage from the apartment complex wasn't clear enough to confirm that Sosa had been the one who dragged her body in front of the complex that night. You could still find him and ask him questions.
I was going to say, have they questioned him?
No. No. Oh, they couldn't find him. They waited and they couldn't find him. Regardless, experts say that it's absurd that Sosa wasn't immediately identified as a suspect as, quote, the most dangerous time for a woman in a domestic violence relationship where lethality increases is at a point of breakup, says Tracy Tambora, who previously trained police departments on how to respond to domestic violence and sexual assault. Mm-hmm. The quote continues, she maintains that she, quote, did not witness police having the same desire to solve domestic violence and sexual assault cases as they did drug cases, homicide cases, and robbery cases. She added, if the police think the individual left the country, for instance, and we've got a victim who comes from a poor family, that isn't going to get the DA's office a lot of pressure. The police might have decided, we're going to pursue this, but we're not putting tons of resources into the pursuit, she says. I think this is where you see class rear its ugly head. Is the victim's life worth the pursuit financially, emotionally, physically?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So 4 months after Daisy's murder, police finally released Sosa as a suspect. 4 months. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, Salas's cousin, Noemi Garcia, called Salas with some news. Garcia had started a Justice for Daisy Instagram page around the same time that Rebecca Fuentes posted her video on TikTok. Garcia had been sending promising leads to the detectives on Daisy's case, but none had gone anywhere until that morning. Daisy's mother said, quote, she's like, Susie, I'm going to send you something. I need you to tell me. Is it him? When she sent me the picture, I was like, fucking shit. It's him. It's him.
Yes, we did it. High five, everybody.
The quote continues. In the photos, Sosa, who had a mop of bleached hair, sat at a table strewn with beer bottles, a cigarette balancing between two fingers. Not only had he apparently not been in hiding, but he was out and about drinking and smoking at Papa's and Beer, a popular tourist bar in Rosarito, Mexico. Salas was aghast. quote, seeing him so relaxed, it did something to me, honestly, she says, with a cigarette, enjoying the music, you know, that really drove me crazy.
I cannot even, like, no.
No. You're grieving. Your whole world has been just ripped to shreds, and he's at fucking Papa's and beer.
Mm-mm.
The image was pulled from a video that someone who worked with Sosa sent through the Instagram page. Salas immediately sent the images to the lead detective, Detective Ray Lugo, and called him to tell him about the break in the case. Get ready to get mad again. Detective Lugo denies ever seeing the images from Instagram and claims he received intel from a Mexican police force which led him to Sosa himself. Quote, our information came from a different source. I know she didn't know because I had to tell her, Lugo recalls. Quote, I told her, Susie, just relax. We know where he's at.
Mm-mm.
But, quote, Lugo previously told the LA Times that the tipster who alerted Rosarito authorities had recognized Sosa's photo from social media. It's unclear which social media post he was referring to. So, multiple problems here. A, she's calling, freaking out, being like, I found him. And he's like, calm down. I already found him, according to him.
Right.
Which is like, if you already found him, why am I telling you about him? How do I not know that you already found him? And the intel, regardless, the intel came from social media. If he's correct and somebody saw the social media and then recognized him and then told Rosarito police and then they told Los Angeles police, regardless, social media and these women like tirelessly posting and getting the word out when the media and the police would not is why he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
So a day later, on July 2nd, Sosa was arrested and is being held in Los Angeles on $2 million bail. His mother testified against him at his his mother testified against him
wow.
At his preliminary hearing and said that he'd bowed his head when she'd confronted him about the murder. Rebecca Fuentes says, quote, I believe he would still be out here if I didn't make that video. The only reason he got caught was because someone recognized him from the videos we were making.
Mm-hmm.
Salas is incredibly grateful that Sosa is in custody, but dreads learning more about what happened to her daughter the night she was murdered. She's also working overtime to keep her mind off of what she'll have to face, and to also save up to be able to miss work to attend the trial for her daughter's murder.
Oh, no, Courtney.
Which is not something I've ever thought about before, because I've not had to think about the financial ramifications of your daughter getting murdered.
Oh, God.
But people have to do that. Quote, thank God for social media, honestly, she said, sighing with relief. I've heard so many stories of parents who are still waiting for the person to get caught. There's no one that's a suspect, and thank God I have that.
Ugh.
One tiny last detail is that there was a 13-year-old boy who came forward to testify as a witness that he saw Sosa walking around Daisy's lifeless body on the ground on the night of her murder, just in case there was any question about whether or not Sosa did this.
Wow.
And that is the devastating murder of Daisy De La O and the TikTok saving the day and the Instagram. But I'm going to give the credit to mostly to TikTok because I like it better than Instagram.
Wow. Did you see, did they have a GoFundMe up to help cover any of the funeral costs or?
Not that I am aware of. I didn't look at the Justice for Daisy Instagram page yet. I'll do it right now, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't any mention of it in any of the articles that I found. But a big surprise, there's not a ton of articles about this case.
Oh, what? Weird.
Mm-hmm. Only about, like, TikTok, really. If it's all about that TikTok solved it. Yep, there's a GoFundMe. So if you go to the Justice for Daisy Instagram, it started 2 days ago, and there's $55 out of $2,500.
No, Courtney.
Yep. So we'll be donating okay. to Justice yes. for Daisy.
Oh, that's going to make me cry.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to go. Everybody, please, let's go and donate to them.
Yep. Help these little darlings. Yep. Donations will go to Susie and Nathan. Ugh, God.
Ugh.
Good call on that. And also, I'm surely there's funds that can help, like, the families and parents of murdered children to take off, or like just victims' assistance to be able to take off time from work to attend the trials of the people who take their loved ones. That's not something I want to think that people have to do, but of course they have to do it.
Of course they do. No, please, let's go, everybody, right now. Mm-hmm. Do you have $2? Please, $2. Just go. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We will give them $35,000.
I wish I don't have that. If I did. Know. God.
Yeah, we'll give them a little chunk of change.
We'll definitely be donating. So please do so also, mm-hmm. if you have it. We'll link it in all of our social media. And sounds like her story needs to be spread for sure.
Yep.
Oh, darling, man.
Little sweet darling girl.
What are we going to do, Court?
Brains. Got to get the brains together. Yeah. Do that brain rally and get everyone to start using them.
Then seriously.
Feel just... like brains. I don't know what you got to do to get your vessels to get on board with using you, but mm-hmm. They're not doing it right.
Yeah. And no, it's like, what, we got to break out of what TikTok is so amazing in so many ways. And mm-hmm. I was listening to NPR on the way home. And it was like the flip side of that was talking about, they were interviewing a woman whose mom died of COVID. Mm. And the reason she didn't get her vaccine was because of TikTok. Facebook. Well, mm-hmm. Facebook in particular. Mm-hmm. And she just watched too many. She was getting flooded with anti-vax bullshit and decided not to get her vaccine. And the daughter tried and tried and tried and couldn't get her mom to listen to reason. And it's just like, it's literally killing people, like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people.
Yep. I just listened to Rabbit Hole, which is like a New York Times podcast, and it's talking about, they start with a kid who claims he was radicalized by YouTube and sort of go through his journey and like how they were figuring out the algorithm at YouTube and like making tweaks to it and how it, you know, just sent him crazier and crazier content. And then they talk about QAnon and they talk about, it just like is a more in-depth sort of behind the scenes understanding of how those algorithms work and how they feed you information. And you know, they have people from YouTube on there talking about, you know, what they do to try to moderate that. But it's just like, you know, when you're dealing with this dissemination of information at like the craziest, most rapid pace. I mean, we post a video on our TikTok and we get like 10,000 views like immediately.
Yeah.
And people following us. I mean, it just gets out there so quickly. And that's great. I mean, as somebody who is creating content and wants to connect with an audience, that's fabulous. But at the other side of it, you know, imagine I have if to we be were making... really careful on TikTok. Right. Yes. Because
yes.
I was just hanging out with my friend Esther this morning and she's like, she's on like a multidimensional like alien TikTok, which I've been on, and it is spooky over there.
Mm-hmm. You get there, it gets real weird real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so if you're not mentally well, it can go terribly wrong. On the other hand, I love technology for its ability to disrupt things and to, you know, like how TikTok, they can mobilize so quickly to get, you know, things done. Like Russians weren't seeing images from the Ukraine. And so people on TikTok were like, go on Russia's Google Maps and like, and Google and go to like museums and like really popular restaurants and put reviews with photos of the war in Ukraine. You know, just thinking of brilliant things like that and telling them what's going on through their Google restaurant reviews, you know, and
it's like, amazing. So the Russian people who couldn't see what was happening.
Correct.
That's correct. So smart.
Isn't that brilliant? And TikTok did it. You know, they're just like finding loopholes, which of course Google like immediately closes and Russia figures out how to close. But in the meantime, you get to Trojan horse that shit through technology.
God. Yeah. I know it could be used for good. We just have to figure it out, you know?
Yep. We are capable, simultaneously capable of tremendous good and tremendous evil. And so we need to prioritize people over money a little bit more in this country. Mm-hmm. And by a little bit more, I mean 99% more than we are currently doing it.
Yeah.
Because we are doing it very wrong and we are destroying ourselves and each other and the environment as a result.
What was the GoFundMe page again?
Justice for Daisy on the Instagram. Go to their Instagram.
Okay. And then they'll have a link to their GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. Oh, $55 is not enough, you guys. We got to go help them.
Let's get them rich AF.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it too. I hate everything about it. And I did too. I love that her friends were smart enough and her family was smart enough to use the resources at their disposal and that they exist, that those resources exist. It is a, in some ways, it is a great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
So big, big love to Susanna and Nathan because.
So much.
Ugh, poor people. I'm glad you're getting some attention that you deserve. And my heart desperately goes out to the people who are not.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had more to say.
I was gonna say, should we just take a hard right into name time?
There's no other way around it.
No, donate some money, and in the meantime, I will read you some names, and I got a big heap.
It's name time.
No, I really do. I'm sorry. I keep thinking like, no, eventually, you know, like eventually this will wind down. And
yeah.
No, it just seems to be heating up more and more.
Well, I was going to say, there's like moments where it's a little bit more of a trickle and then there's just a fire hose. So mm-hmm. I keep thinking the same thing and then I'm wrong and I love it. somebody knew a girl named Elizabeth Hurd, but she went by Lizard. Another girl that went to her school was Jacqueline Knopf, and she went by Jackie Knopf. This is real life. These are real people that people know.
How long did it take her to realize that her name was Jackie Knopf?
That's a great question. Jacqueline, if you're listening,
tell us.
Was this your whole life adventure, or were you like 15 and some boy was like, oh, and then your life froze forever changed and you were better for it?
I can't remember. I think it happens fast.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask. My oldest has a kid in class and they, I can't remember his name, but they immediately picked up on whatever it rhymed with that's funny or whatever.
Yeah, they started calling me Ecky Bob in first grade. Like I was Ecky Bob for my whole life. Which is kind of adorable.
It's so cute.
Thanks a lot, Trent Gaines, for Ecky Bob. He was a really good friend of mine. Steve Sweetlove. Yeah.
I want to hang out with him.
You know who else you want to hang out with? Norman Gorman.
Yes, oh my God. I do. I 100% do want to do that.
Okay, you ready for a big, big, big heap? Stormy Water Cloud.
That's so cute.
No. Deliverance Daniels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sovereign Beloit. That is a beautiful name. I would very much like for my name to be Sovereign.
That is gorgeous.
Right? Roland Comes Flying. Bonita Goose.
Oh, my God. Does Bonita wear a bonnet? Why, like, everywhere, like,
a goose? It's like Mother Goose.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Mother Goose had a lineage that she's got great, great, great grandchildren. Bonita Goose. Stefan Buttweiler. Samantha Sample. That is so cute. Sam Sample. Donald Wake 'em Up. I just wish it's so many interesting names that I wish I had. Fancy Red Eyes. I mean, like, what? Really? That is a real name. Fancy Red Eyes. And Queen Bobo.
I'm sorry.
Should be my name, Queen Bobo.
Queen.
I wrote a horror story called Baby Bobo, and so no relation to Queen Bobo. But. Grantley Dick - Reed. Grantley Dick Red or Dick Reed.
No, it is Grantley Dick Reed. Who is that? That's somebody famous.
It is a person's name, Grantley Dick Reed.
It's God, who is that? I have to look it up. It's like something to do with babies.
Sadie's read that all name. Of Grantley Dick Reed's.
It's either like something catalog. That I know about or something Riot knows.
Do you know about Rusty Corvette? That is a name.
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you know about Zam Zam Denny? What?
Courtney Grantley Dick Reed. He was an OB and an advocate of natural childbirth. So, of course, I know who he is.
Back to Sadie's birthing way days when she worked at a birth school.
That's so funny.
I can't believe you didn't come up with Grantley Dick Reed earlier.
Well, I knew it. So, I'm not like totally. I'm wondering what. Anyway. Yep.
Anyway. Yep.
There we go, guys. My midwife friends listening are like, God, Sadie, get it together.
And I'm also saying to those people, those midwife friends, you guys, Grantley Dick Reed's been right in front of your nose this whole time. You never sent it to us. You miss Zam Zam Denny.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I got
Zam Zam.
Zam Zam.
Noble Wine. That would be my name. Noble Marg, really. Margie Marg. Rainy Days.
Oh my god, so cute.
I saw a TikTok. There's a community of 28 mid-century homes. It was like a compound. They built these 28 mid-century homes in Hatfield in the 60s. And then I had to like pause and rewind the name because it's the Cocaine Housing Group. Cockaigne. The cocaine. I was like, yes, it is.
Sign me up.
I'm sure it lives up to its name. These swimming ass Scandinavian designed homes. Cocaine Housing Group. There's a detective, Tracy Casey, that was on the first 48.
Tracy Casey.
Deep off the coast of New England, the Atlantic Ocean hosts a prestigious axe murderer's home called Smutty Nose Island. What? When would that ever be a good name for an island?
Never.
I know, you guys. Smutty Nose. What?
What?
Is it lost in translation?
No.
Three more. Kylie. Ruth Screws. And Sky Walker.
Yeah.
Honest to God. Thank you so much, babies of our listenership.
This never gets old. Thank you mostly to Grantley Dick Reed.
Grantley Dick Reed.
What, that is... champion natural childbirth.
With the best name ever. Hello, sir, what's your name? Grantley Dick Reed. What?
Shit, I'm gonna have to figure out which book of his I've read. All of them, probably.
Probably. You celebrate his entire catalog. Grantley Dick Reed, DDS. What if he's a dentist?
That would be weird.
Oh, you guys, watch Dope Sick. Speaking of which, God, that show is great. I mean, it is very sad because it is about the opioid epidemic, but there's just enough of like, fuck yeah, we're going to nail these motherfuckers to the wall to like counterbalance the like devastating sadness that is watching, you know, these like entire communities of people become dope sick. It's so good, but I don't remember why I thought of that. Oh, DDS. Because there are... you'll dentists. Be so surprised that they stretched information. They made it up. They fucking fabricated the fuck out of some statistics, some trials, some everything. It's very interesting, very devastating. Speaking of things we do wrong in this country. Things that we do right in this country are...
our Patreon.
Yes. raise people who are kind and generous enough to give us money. That's what we do right in this country.
I know, and they keep coming. They keep coming in to join us. Just remember, if you're thinking about joining, wait like 4 days. What is it?
It's the 25th. It's the 5th. So 6-7 days. I don't know how many months and days and everything like that. No.
But you can pay us double if you want, but we don't really want you to have to do that.
Yeah. It's basically, Sadie, what Sadie's saying is they'll charge you when you sign up. So sign up at the first of the month, and then you don't get immediately charged again for the first of the month.
Thank you so much to Nicole R.
Nicole's right on the money, and she's right on time, and she's right in the line, and she's right on the vine. And what is she doing on the vine? She's ripening. She's Nicole ripening on the vine. And someone comes along and picks her and puts her on their hat, which is made of a lot of different kinds of fruit. And Nicole says, "Where's my maracas? I'm gonna jam out with you." And yes. They do.
And they do. And they do, do, do.
I wish I could live in a fruit hat.
God, me too. Thank you so much to Jolique W.
Jolique? Wow, come on. Speaking of names that I wish that I could have, what would your last name be?
From Amsterdam.
What would your last name be? If, like, wowie zowie. Jolique Zimzam, but Zimzam starts with a Z, but...
Jolique...
What you doing over there, guy? What you looking at, guy?
No, it would be what you doing over there, guy.
Jolique, why are you not me, everyone? Because I'm Jolique. That's an outstanding name. Song lyric. It's like a and fragrant, a name of a fine fragrance.
Yes, it really is. Right? A nice, like, luxury clothing brand.
Oh my God, you guys, my friend got married in New York a month ago, and she got married in this crazy townhouse in the West Village, and my favorite game was just walking around and being tacky and talking about, like, how rich people live and pointing out everything that rich people have that the rest of us don't. Uh-huh. Not in front of the homeowner, of course, but 100% anytime she left the room, I was like, you guys, how much do you think that fucking door stopper costs? Like $250? Like, what are we talking here? 500? I have no concept.
Totally.
And she had this soap, and I splurge and use Aesop soap in my house. It is one thing that is way too expensive, but it gives me so much delight that I use it. I buy it for Sadie and Ryan. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. This soap that she had kicks Aesop soap's ass.
Oh, shit.
And Zoe, my bestie, who got married, sent it to me in the mail.
Oh, man.
Because I walked out of the bathroom, was like swearing up a storm, smelling my hands because I just washed it. And the point of it is that Jolique is the name of that soap now forever, man. In my mind.
Yes. I was going to ask you the brand, but we already know it.
The fragrance is suede, and the brand starts with a B, and I can't remember because I'm not rich. And so
B. Jolique is what it's called.
B. Jolique.
Thank you so much to Cassia F.
Get out of here with all these beautiful names,
Cassia. Oh, they just keep coming. I mean, we started with Nicole. We are moving through all of the gorgeous names.
Cassia.
That,
like, what, does she play a fucking lute? Does she reside upon a mount? Like, when you have a name like Cassia, you smite other gods because you, like, are the daughter / lover of Zeus. Like, what do you even do with your time?
I wish I could tell you what.
There are fables about you in relating to pomegranates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Cassia was cast down to Hades, and so now we eat pomegranates because they represent her 9,000 souls that she contains within her, right. Or whatever.
Cassia. Why do you gotta do it to a... Why do you gotta have a best name?
I know, entire chapters in Greek mythology classes about Cassia.
We have another listener from Norway.
What are you talking about? Know, how is that possible? I could not even identify. I couldn't point it out on a map if I was put at gunpoint.
I know.
That's
Thank
amazing.
You so much to Tuva H.
I'm literally going to throw my computer across the room at the name Tuva.
I know.
Is everyone in Norway named things like Jolique and Tuva?
I hope so.
Do you guys just to like skip everywhere you go?
Yes.
Like, with the name like Tuva?
No.
Tuva definitely designs their own clothes. I don't know if that's a male or female or non-binary name, but definitely designs their own clothes. Mm-hmm. Definitely skips everywhere they go. Definitely like influences culture and pop culture and what's mm-hmm. popular and important in this world.
Mm-hmm. Makes you feel comfortable and interesting. Like makes you feel like you're interesting. You know, one of those people.
Exactly.
Yes.
That is exactly right.
Yep.
Yep. You look forward. And they're always like, know the exact right thing that you want to do. And you don't know mm-hmm. that you want to do it. They're like, mm-hmm. Send you a text at like 11:30 on a Sunday. That is just like a gif of, you know, somebody drinking rosé, and you're like, yes, bitch, yes, of course, that's what I want to do right now.
Yes.
You know, and then uh-huh. they like show up and they're like, you'll never believe what happened to me, and then tell you a fascinating story.
Yes.
You know, like you want yes. to hear Tova's stories every yes. time.
Thank you so much to Jiang Cha.
Oh, come on. What?
I don't know.
I don't even know how to conceptualize. We say it again.
Jiang Cha.
Jiang Cha. Like what? Mm-hmm. I'm honestly at a loss for words. That's
I know.
Such a
There's no
name.
Last name. It's all one name and yeah. no address. So I don't know. It feels like a beautiful, very interesting mystery.
Feels like person. An emotion. Yeah. It feels yes. like a state of being. Like you're this. That's so advanced and so lovely that you transcend identity. Mm-hmm. It's just a state mm-hmm. of being. That's all you are. Mm-hmm. All of your own. We can't even conceptualize what it would feel like to be no. that state of being because it's beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
So well done. Bravo.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's do one more.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Freembean. Sarah F. Freembean.
Freembean? If I had a perfect life, I would be a farmer of Freem beans, and they would be sort of a cross between like a duckling and like a artichoke, you know,
yes.
just like, what are you doing? I got to go harvest my Freem beans. And they would all just like, and you like gather them all up in your apron. And then you just like, what do you do with them? Do you sell them? You're like, hell no. I just like sit on the ground and let them crawl all over me every day.
Totally.
And then sometimes I'll like make them stay and then walk away across a field and then call my Freem beans. And then they all just like herds of them just rush
me. It 100%.
Right?
Yes.
If I could redo this life, if I yes. could harness my, what's the last name that you just read? Jiang Cha?
Jiang Cha.
If I could harness my Jiang Cha and create a new reality, I would be a farmer of Freem beans.
Yes.
That's what I would do. Thank you for that visual.
God, that's
that
amazing.
Puts me in a really good mood.
Me too. I like tumbling around, like rolling yes. real fast. I'm putting googly cartoon eyes on them.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I fully picture it 100%.
Yes. Yep. Delicious adorableness. We love you guys.
I mean, God, I feel like we have had all of our listeners are so amazing, and our mm-hmm. Patreon supporters are our heart and soul. Dare I say this maybe was the best grouping of names we've had?
I
even say that?
No, 100%. There's no, yeah, there's no question.
Right?
And I think all of our other Patreon supporters would agree with you.
Right. It doesn't take away from the beauty of no. who you are and your name. It's just yeah. the collection, that the fact that they all came in.
Yes.
At the same time, and as they come in, we get emails telling yeah. us, and I was noticing, it wasn't like this was a surprise today, I was noticing the names coming, and I was like, what is happening? How did we fall into the
right.
amazing name cat? Like, for a podcast who is obsessed with names,
yes.
we are getting the best named
yeah.
patrons.
Are we among royalty? Like, what is happening?
I feel like it.
Are we going to get invited to, you know, like secret societies and shit now?
Oh, I hope so.
Feels like a level up for sure.
Cults.
Yeah. I also just want to say, I mean, you guys, like, you cannot understand. It feels so cliche to say, but you cannot understand how much your feedback affects us and means to us. I don't want to cry about it, but, you know, like somebody sent us a message today talking about how Sadie encouraged them to get some mental health help. And oh, it was in a review, like, and mm-hmm. you know, it worked. Incredibly honored to hear that. Somebody else said that they, you know, us like encouraging people to do things that they want to do, even if they don't think they can. And like, have had the, one of the affirmations that I shared, the tell me, show me how good it gets on a post-it note on their computer. That is, I cannot tell you how happy that made. It makes me feel like everything that I've ever done in this life has led up to this moment. And like sharing this with you people is so meaningful. It's like, there's nothing else that life matters than connecting with and like interacting with other human beings on some level. So
yeah, I'm vigorously shaking my head. Yes, I completely agree. If it just means that we've touched 25 people or whatever, like to know that, and it makes it so worth it. We will, it gets just fuel. We maybe will never make $1 billion off this podcast, but that's not the point. The point is to make connection, and you guys have shown up for that, and it just, it's life changing. It makes me feel like, you know, especially in the depths of my postpartum depression, my biggest regret at that time was I felt like I wasn't, now I'm going to cry, but I felt like other than my family, I wasn't going to be remembered, you know, like I wasn't going to make an impact. And I don't need to do much, you know, like I want to raise good kids and I want to be a good person. But to know that this little podcast makes an impact for others in a positive way is just, it's like I can die happy.
honest to God. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us when you have the time, because it's just, it's everything. It's literally everything. Yeah. And it's, so it's the only thing. The only thing that matters in this world is the way we connect with each other and how we take care of each other. So giving that gift to us is just you can't know. You cannot know how miraculous it feels.
It really is. I know, I've been thinking about that more, you know, like especially there's certain people on TikTok that I follow and just really care about, and I, you know, so I understand how, I don't know them, but I really do have a connection with them. I think like a lot of how our listeners feel, how it feels silly to have that connection back. And so I have actually been, and I've never done this before in my life, but I've been like commenting or like just making being more what's the word? I'm more
kind of vulnerable. It's
certainly... Well, vulnerable and like, and giving them that feedback, because I understand now how much it means.
Same.
And
so exactly the same.
Yeah. Just like offering them the comments and the hearts and the follows and the, you know, sharing friends, small businesses, or, you know, because I get it. I get it. It makes it such a big impact to know that also, what you're doing is connecting.
Making TikTok videos is fucking hard.
Oh my God.
You guys, holy smokies.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
Think that it just put on your phone and go, but if you're trying to tell a remotely coherent story, you better carve out an hour and a half, 2 hours, especially at my age. You gotta conceal some stuff. You gotta get your angles just right. You gotta...
You know, I sent Courtney a video I made, and, you know, we do a podcast. I feel like over the 2 years we've been doing this, I can read a sentence pretty well.
No.
But I sent it to her, and I was like, this is so clunky. And she's like, yeah, it's pretty clunky. I felt like a robot. It's like, how do you, I guess, it's a totally different medium.
It really is. Yep.
Got to figure that out.
It's really fun. Like, I love, obviously, I love it. And I love making, you know, weird videos we've been making for TikTok and posting them on Instagram and stuff. But, yeah, it's...
It's a learning curve. So when you go over to TikTok and you're like, why is Sadie a robot? I don't know. Give me a minute. And then she was like, going,
this is the case of Dawn. And then you see her hand like go toward the button. Just kidding. Don't really. But that is the hardest part. Yeah. It's like disguising the hand toward the button.
Courtney and I can see each other now. I'm showing her what that looks like. My eyes get bigger and bigger. As
I... Am I going to hit it? Am I going to...
And then you, when you don't, you just knock the screen.
Yeah. Yes. Wobble, wobble, wobble. I'm like simultaneously holding a microphone, like my earphone microphone, and actually like holding my phone so that I can just hit the button, but I don't...
That's smart.
I just keep my hand there. But that is a lot of work for a girl like me. Like my my hand is going numb and stuff.
You're gonna get ripped, whatever those muscles are that makes that movement.
And I have a really fucking huge like part of the fatty part of the thumb from holding the anyway.
Oh, speaking of it, real quick, and then we'll go. But I was probably on TikTok, but they were just the estheticians who do nails said that they can tell who's on their phone all the time because of the way you hold it. And it's separating people's pinky away from their other fingers.
Oh, no. Wow. So
yeah.
Wow. I mean, luckily, I have this giant ass battery pack. So I don't think I can hold phones the way other people can hold phones. I have to kind of hold it with the meaty part of my palm. Good. So once again, it's going to be huge and
your hand's
fat.
Just going to like grow a, like a shelf right here.
Pillow. Yeah, seriously. So it's anyway. Too heavy. Anyway. So yeah, go to TikTok, watch our bids, go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at They Will Kill. Go to our website, theywillkill.com. Go to your email and put this in the to line. theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
Rate, review, then, subscribe. Oh, did I cut you?
Yeah, I was going to tell them what to put in the subject line.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Hot, hottie boom body. Then in the body of the email, send us your social security numbers. Hit send. And then when you're done, great review and subscribe to our Apple Podcasts.
It reminds me, I haven't checked our dick pics email in a while.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that next time.
Okay.
Thank you, AJ Birkins, for our music.
Thank you. And remember
that you just connect with each other. Take care of each other and connect with each other. Mm-hmm. Literally nothing else matters.
Literally.
Yep. And that taking care of each other includes sharing your fucking resources. So money matters, mm-hmm. but if you have it, you got to share it. And it shouldn't matter as much as it does, but it does. So share your shit.
Do it.
Don't be a D-hole.
Don't do that.
You guys aren't.
No.
But tell other people to not be it. Turn to your right and tell the person next to you to not be a D-hole. Right. See what happens and then report back. We love you guys so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.